We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, Sports with Max. There are great stories, and there are great stories. Freddie Gillespie is a great story. He joins us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. He plays basketball at Baylor, or did this last year. Now he's preparing for a professional career, but it is how he got here that makes him so interesting. And we have had multiple discussions. I've had him on the radio show before, but his career just keeps evolving. And I'm going to have a piece on him at 10 o'clock on the news tonight as well. And it starts with a dream, but it goes back even earlier than that. Freddie joins us from Waco, Texas. Freddie, what's the weather like down in Waco today?
Gorgeous. See, we had a 80 degrees today. 85 degrees was what it was all day. But 85 degrees and a nice breeze and very sunny.
Everything pretty much shut down around there? You on campus in the form of an apartment? Is that where you are?
Yeah, I'm on an apartment, so... I got a chance to get outside, kind of enjoy the sun. It was kind of rainy earlier. I mean, for a lot last week. So, much like you guys, we had above Minnesota, we had a nice day. So, we all try to get outside a little bit. Of course, with a safe distance from each other.
Right. But is it strange to see that campus just deserted when this should be a time when everybody's having fun?
Yeah, it's different. I mean, you know, usually during campus, you have people during this time, you'd have people out, you know, playing frisbee or soccer or. You know, touch football, but, you know, it's just, you know, deserted. It's just empty. So that's a little different for this time of year.
Freddie, let's go back. I want to start with your story through your eyes and your words so that people understand where you came from to where you got to. You grew up in that Woodbury area and played at East Ridge, and you wanted to play some football, and then you kept growing, and basketball became your game. Where did this start? How did this start for you in what year in school where you took a liking to basketball, or maybe because your size, basketball started to take a liking to you?
You know, I mean, like you said, I mean, basketball started taking a liking to me. You know, I was in love with football, but, you know, I always tell people that all my friends, all my teammates on football, they started going out, and I started going up. So I got taller, and they got heavier. So, so I started getting more and more inches, and then caught the eye of the B team basketball coach in my sophomore year. So, I had played once, and I was in eighth grade with just my friends just for fun, but didn't take it very seriously. But then when I started playing as that tenth grade year as a sophomore, you know, that's when I actually really kind of fell in love with the game and started to actually, like, enjoy it and have fun being out there on the court, even though it wasn't very good.
So you were one of the bigger kids, but you hadn't really worked on the game hard enough to be a dominant player.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that year was just, you know, laying the rules. So I was like, oh, okay, so, like, you know, like, I knew beforehand, like, what two steps, and, like, you know, you're going to take two steps after a drill, but then I really learned, okay, what two steps really looks like, you know, just, or, you know, getting used that you can't be in the paint for more than 3 seconds, just getting used to the rules. Like, I knew them in my head because I'd watched basketball, of course, but actually being able to play the game without thinking about the rules.
Now, what happened in your junior and senior year? How did you begin to improve?
So my junior year, you know, I started to, after I got past that point of where I could just play the game and not think about the rules, I just now, like, I just, that aspect came natural. I started just naturally, you know, just evolve as a player. My athleticism started to, you know, kick in. I could jump a little bit higher, move a bit quicker, get a bit stronger. And I just kind of came more comfortable. And then, you know, then I started to, I moved from J. My junior year, I moved from JV and then quickly moved on to varsity, like middle of the season, because I was just, you know, picking up on things that quickly.
And was Seth Green on that team with you?
Yeah, Seth Green was on that team, yeah.
Yeah, he had a pretty good basketball game, too, as well, didn't he? Yeah, I mean, obviously, he was a great football player, you know.
Yeah, no, I looked at seven. I was always impressed. I mean, he's one of those guys that's a natural athlete where you put it, you know, you put anything into his hand, he's just good at it, you know, baseball, soccer. I remember one time we had him do a yo-yo, and he was good at that.
Yeah, he was the man, and obviously, the Gophers now in football is yeah. Position changed a lot, but he was obviously went to school down in Texas there at the end, etc. Okay, so now in your senior year, you kind of have made it as a starter on the varsity?
Yeah, so after at the end of my junior year, I tore my ACL, so I missed, you know, a big, so I missed, I was going to be on an AAU team that at that time, but I missed that whole period, so I spent that whole time trying to rehab, and, you know, I was, you know, everyone was telling me I could use that offseason to kind of develop and learn the game, become better, but I just spent it trying to get back on the floor. So my senior year, I was a varsity starter, and then I kind of had to miss the beginning of the season, you know, with my
with the ACL,
you know, injury. Yeah, ACL injury, and then I had a couple sprained ankles throughout the season that, you know, caused me to miss some games too. So it was kind of just like I couldn't quite get into the rhythm. It was more about recovery, than it was about, you know, displaying my talent or gift or our potentials.
So now, how do you end up at Carleton?
I had a conversation with my coach. I said, you know, Coach Virgin, he was like, would you want to play at the next level? Like, are you going to be done after high school, after this? I said, I mean, yeah. And I told him I want to do something because I just still had that desire to play the game. So I asked if I could if I could play at Division III, Division II, Division I, and I want to play. I mean, I didn't think those other two were a possibility, but, you know, I said I want to play in college. So Carleton happened because, you know, I wanted to get a good education. So Carleton is a very prestigious, you know, academic in Minnesota, academic institution. So I figured, okay, I could go to Carleton, you know, get a good education, a good degree, be set for my life after college, and, you know, play basketball on the side and kind of get it out of my system.
And you go there and you play a couple years, but they're not. It wasn't like you dominated the conference. Explain what happened.
It's my first year. I mean, you know, I think I played a total of 16 minutes. At first I got there and won. And the good thing is I got there, you know, injury stopped being an issue for me. So, okay, knock on wood.
Yep.
So I started to play the game more. I was able to practice and get in the rhythm. And, you know, the coach. So there was a couple seniors who were out of me. So, and I think his philosophy was, you know, wait your time. You know, these guys are here. So let them finish out their Division III career.
Yep.
I mean, so I was like 16 minutes. And then the next year, you know, I went there and then, for me, I mean, I didn't dominate that conference, but there was a leap in improvement, you know. So I can't remember what I averaged, but, you know, I think I led the conference in probably blocks, rebounds. So then that happened, and I kind of thought, okay, well, kind of hit me. I thought, okay, well, if I'm making this kind of jump at right now, like, but like, you know, like, where's the ceiling?
Yeah, what's the ceiling? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's when I considered playing Division I.
And that's when an angel named Al Nunes comes along and knows your mom and says, you know what, I happen to have a son that coaches at Baylor, which is a high-power basketball machine down there in Texas. And his son looks at your tape, Jared, and says, what? Because even, you know, people don't realize this. If they commit to you to walk on, even though there's not scholarship money, that's a commitment for them. They only get so many spots. And he says to you what?
So, so then they say... So I come here and then they say, okay, well, you know, they say, they basically told me, you know, you got the measurable. You know, they're like 7'6", wingspan, 6'9". That doesn't come in every day. But they just told me straight up. They say, you know, you're raw. You got a ways to go before we could even, you know, put you in a game and have you really kind of contribute. So they just said, you know, they took me all the resources they had, all the things they have, and the thing, the drill that I have to do, and just the process that it would be. And they say, you know, if you want to do this, then we'll reevaluate you at the end of the year and then see where we go from there. See if we can, if we can get you a scholarship, if you can help us, or if not, then, you know, we'll definitely help you find another school to go to if you don't want to stay here as a walk-on.
And you're good enough in that redshirt year that you come back and you come into the fall and you know now you've done enough and your game has improved enough that you know you can contribute, huh?
So then, you know, when I first walked in, it was kind of a shock of just seeing, you know, people might consider me a freak of nature, but I saw other people that, like, were even, you know, longer than me, taller than me, could jump higher or stronger, just use just like this, so that these athletic physical specimens that have been playing basketball since, you know, they could, you know, first walk. So then I started to, you know, I was beat down on a lot. I couldn't really, like, there was a lot of work. I strained together a good, a good couple plays. But, you know, eventually I started to realize, okay, well, I'm kind of holding my own here. I'm kind of practicing kind of well. And then, you know, at some point I realized, you know, I'm helping my team win some of these scrimmages in practice. And I turned and said, okay, I'm like, well, I can compete at this level, contribute for this team.
And I hate to fast forward too quick, but the rest is history, as they say. By the time you played your final year this last year, you're a mainstay in a team that gets to number one ranked in the country. What was that like this last year to go through? I know everybody wanted to play the NCAA tournament, but it was a magical year for Baylor. What was it like to be in the middle of that?
It was a blast. It was so much fun. And then just the fact, you know, to add my story and where I started out at,
yeah,
just made it that much sweeter, you know. And I was just, you know, how much. I worked really hard to improve my game and get to the point where I could contribute and, you know, could get all the personal accolades I got. But then to have teammates, you know, work just as hard and be just as competitive and have just as much a desire to win and can come together as a group and have the season we did is just, it makes it even more spectacular.
I watched you in that game against Kansas when they beat you.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the atmosphere was on fire. And yeah. I'm watching this, and I'm watching for you specifically because it's a good game. And, of course, Kansas has their own big guys, and they got some real players there. What was that atmosphere like that day?
Oh, it was electric. You know, I was talking to people who had, you know, worked on our, you know, our staff here at Baylor since, I think, you know, since some of them have been there since 2007, and they've been to a lot of big basketball games. And they said that's the most electric they've ever seen, you know, our basketball arena. But that was, I mean, it was loud. Everybody was excited. There was never a moment where, never a quiet moment. I mean, the hype around that game was insane. But, you know, definitely the thing about where playing in some of the Division III games I played in, so going to that type of atmosphere, it was just insane.
Wow. And now you're preparing for the next step. What do the scouts tell you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I haven't had a chance to really talk to any scouts. I've got a couple calls lined up, but I haven't really had a chance to directly talk. I've heard through other people what they've told the people, and people have told me what kind of their thoughts are. But, you know, they just, you know, I'm an intriguing story. That's kind of what I heard from just actually everybody involved in the professional level, you know, that they say I'm an intriguing story. You know, I started late, but I picked up on some things quickly and made improvements fairly quickly. And that, you know, I do a lot of things that they want, you know, the modern NBA force to be able to do.
I mean, it's just, it's so incredible that you almost can't put it into words to see, you know, where you've come. But your advice now to kids out there about taking a chance or a risk or whatever it is, or living your dreams, what is it that you've learned? What is it you want to share with people?
Yeah, you know, I would say, I would say the biggest thing is, you know, that your dreams, you know, your dreams to make you uncomfortable. I was like, so, you know, I think for me, like saying, hey, I want to be on a Division I team and try and go to the NBA, where I was at when I was in high school, that dream made me feel uneasy. And like,
yeah, I mean, to give a perspective, like, you would not have been on any of the high end travel teams when you were growing up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, not even close. So, so I would say, you know, try and work towards something that makes you feel uneasy or uncomfortable. You know, if your dream is, if going to the NBA, if that's your dream, then, and you don't feel like, oh, then if you feel like, oh, well, that's a given to me, or that's, you know, makes sense, or, you know, that's just something that everyone says will happen, well, then say that you want to, but then try and be a first overall draft pick, you know, mm-hmm. Try and take one step further than what you're comfortable with. And then, I think that makes you work harder and, you know, brings more success.
But you have to leave your comfort zone, don't you? You can't be in, yeah, a sense of entitlement.
Yes, exactly. If that's how you feel, then, I mean, and, you know, I mean, dream big would be the lesson.
So you're working out on your own every day down there right now?
I have some of our teammates are still here, but in terms,
sure,
of, you know, getting that official Baylor training or professional training, right now it's tough to get given the circumstances. So, but, you know, we have exercises that people have sent to me and things to work on that people have sent to me, so that's what I'm working on until things start to pick back up.
I'll never forget the day Al Nunes called me. And he says, "Call me. I got a story for you." When Al says that, I say, "I got." And this was before people knew that you were maturing, because he knew from his son being on the staff that you were going to get playing time and that you were going to make the team and that you were going to get scholarship and all this stuff. He knew it before anybody else did. And, you know, people in the MIAC knew that you had moved on, but nobody knew that you were growing in that direction. I remember when he explained that story to me, I said, "You got to be kidding me, Al."
Yeah.
And he said, "I'm not." And that's the first time that we had you on the radio course back then last year. And so it's been so much fun to follow your career. It is so much fun to see what you stand for and how you inspire people with what you've done. And I wish you nothing but the best going forward. And I hope at some point in time we can meet in person here up here in the Twin Cities after all this thing passes through.
All right, sounds good. Okay, we'll have to get it down on the calendar.
Hey, keep working hard and living the dream, Freddie.
All right, thank you.
That is one amazing story. Freddie Gillespie.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.